And thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. It goes so well with the messages that God has laid on our heart the last month or so, because the theme verse really for our young people has been 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. That's not my text this morning. But if any man, woman, child be in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm paraphrasing here. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Made new by whom? Made new by the Creator God. And if He made this beautiful creation in 6 days and rested, just think what He's doing in heaven for you. And just think of what He can do in your life in making us new every day. It all started for me at just a routine meeting that I was attending as district office administrator at Fishers, Indiana, the headquarters building. And I almost didn't go because I was so busy with things that I needed to do. But Brother Sherman said, well, it's up to you. He said, you probably know everything that they're going to share about the portal and about reports, but it's up to you. Well, they were rolling out some new changes with the discipline. I thought, maybe I better go. And I'm so glad I did. When I was at the meeting the first day, it was just a lot of routine things that was taking place with some updates and information from for various districts in Worth, Kentucky, Tennessee, and we have a couple churches in North Georgia, so really wasn't anything amazingly new. But the next morning, something happened. Just a very short devotional was shared about the butterfly effect, and then a gift was given to each district office administrator. It looked like something that would have been a very feminine gift, because they probably were stereotyping that, yeah, all the rest of the district office administrators were female, except for one who was retiring. I'm the only male district office administrator. And so they gave the butterfly effect, canvas with easel and all this stuff, wrapped up in a very beautiful pastel paisley tissue. But I don't know if they appreciated it as much as I did, because God was stirring a message with my heart. Just out of that little 10-minute devotional, I guess it's because I'm a preacher, I began to think sermon series. But it was more than that. I thought, well, Mother's Day, and that became a theme for our Mother's Day brunch. And next thing you know, I thought, well, at least there's two messages in that. And I thought I was done, and I shared last Sunday, I wasn't done yet, because the Lord brought something else across my pathway, and of course, in that, it was sort of two parts extended. And as I began to do some of the scientific research about the butterfly effect, I was not really impressed with a butterfly flapping its wings and it changing the weather patterns of hurricanes and floods and typhoons around the world. I honestly don't believe that. But I was very impressed with how it applies in relationships, because it's been that way in my life, and it's been that way in dozens of individuals' lives that I've talked to and shared this message. Just yesterday, again, I was sharing with someone at the rummage sale, more than one, this message. And I've been amazed that when I start the message and I ask after about 30 seconds, are you busy? Do you need to go somewhere? No, I want to hear the rest of it. So that's my permission to go ahead and preach for about 15 minutes. No, I try to condense it down. But I've been amazed at how God stirs hearts to realize, you know what, my life matters. And that was the message that we shared on May 7th. And then on May 10th, that God stirred and anointed for our young people to recognize that their life matters, that matters to God and their community and their families and the church. And they can break the power of sin and the cycles of addiction and abuse and violence and crime and reliance on the government, all that, if they just are transformed by the renewing of their mind. And God moved in that service in a mighty way. And there were many who prayed to receive Christ. Well, then on Mother's Day, God moved and dealt with our hearts about Moses' mothers and how our heritage, whether it's a mother who knew God or perhaps a spiritual mother, can impact us for time and eternity. And then last week we shared about the pollination habitat. And I thank God for His anointing to stir our hearts to what it really means as the butterfly sanctuary to go out and witness and see that we do need each other in that symbiotic relationship. We need each other in fellowship. And we are commissioned to fertilize out in the world, to spread the gospel, and then to reap the harvest. So if you didn't hear last week's message, it's on there on the Facebook or YouTube of our church. You can certainly catch up if you missed a message. They're all out there. But the Lord has been dealing with my heart this week about the reproductive life of the butterfly. And I asked someone, well, what do you think I'm going to do with that? And Rusty was a little bit nervous, I think, when I told him that was my message for today. As I began to study it scientifically, I was very intrigued by it. In fact, I saw a little clip of when there's a courtship that takes place within the butterflies. These are a couple of monarchs. There's actually an arrow on that. If you see, that identifies the male and the monarch, that little dot in the tip of the wing. And they actually flirt and court and have a bound relationship, almost like a marriage proposal that takes place. Now, it happens much quicker than our existence of life, but it's very interesting. And there's a helpmeet situation. The male butterfly, after they're married, quote-unquote, actually carries the burden for the weaker one. You say, are you being a little bit sexist? No, it's actually biblical that he actually takes them and lifts them to be that protector, that guarder, that provider, and takes them to the place where they lay the eggs. And that's an amazing truth that is revealed. But before all that happens, all these stages come to adulthood, there's a transformation that takes place. And I've looked to the Word of God and understand in Genesis chapter 1 again that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, that we saw that last week, but it was in a different phrase, but this is in the creation of man. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let me pause to say that God made man in His image as the pinnacle of creation. For those who believe in animal rights, for those that believe that we ought to secede our rights or our dominion over the planet and save the polar bears over human life, let me just express to you that I've never seen a polar bear, as cute and as fuzzy as they may be when they're drinking their Coca-Cola, I've never seen a polar bear or a dolphin or whoever else you want to save. I've never seen them build a hospital. I've never seen them preach the gospel. I've never seen them accomplish anything for the kingdom of God that will have eternal significance. Amen? We love the creatures that God has created, but let me emphasize again that you and I are made in God's image. And you're greater than the animals. So you don't need to stoop to animal behavior. And that's what happens so sadly in our culture today as it relates to this issue of reproductive life. I have seen and witnessed so many heartbreaks and heartaches around this issue over the years. A very wonderful and beneficial gift that God has given us, but it's perverted and twisted and distorted in such a way that man no longer even comprehends what it is that God has given us. Just last night, I was listening to a news bulletin about the terrorist attacks. There was a link to another story about these women that were grieving the fact that there were now some, and I won't go into graphic detail, but there are now some situations where men would not use what they ought to and could be charged with a crime because they weren't doing what they said they were going to do. They weren't keeping their obligation in their pre-negotiated, if you will, terms of the relationship. And I thought, wait a minute, why are they so upset about this They just look to the Word of God. The Bible says abstinence before marriage. They wouldn't have this problem if they'd follow God's Word. They wouldn't have this issue in the culture if they'd follow God's Word. He knows. He's ready for this before they ever thought of this situation and scenario. But they were wringing their hands about, oh, that's terrible that anyone would do such a thing. You know what's terrible? That anyone would disobey God and disobey His purpose and plan as it relates to the gifts that He gives us. Say, well, Pastor, you sound kind of Catholic. If you think that that's the only gift that He gives us is for reproduction, let me tell you something. God has given us this gift for us to understand the purpose that He has put within us. And even when we look to the butterfly, we can experience and see His example in nature. But let me share another scripture in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 29, God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Now this is important. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Did you catch that phrase? God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. I don't usually use the word as it relates to any expression. Even when we're talking about the difference between a male and female, I choose the word gender. And I know we have some young people here this morning, but I will say it once because I want you to understand very clearly. But God made everything in creation, and He even made sex. And it was not intended to be good or corrupted. It was good. But it's the evil one who has distorted and perverted God's wonderful gift as it was intended to be. And in our society, it's twisted, and every relationship that relates to it is very twisted. And you pray for us, because in the end of the discipleship class, we'll be sharing with our young people God's purpose and plan, in even relationships. Because I believe that that's one of the areas that's the greatest stumbling block, not just for young people, but for young families. Moms and dads that struggle with addiction to pornography, to issues of the heart and mind that are not transformed because they're subscribing to the enemy's purpose and plan rather than to the Creator's purpose and plan. But God made this gift as good, but the enemy has corrupted it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, we read that the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. But then Jesus spoke. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I believe that God's message to the church today, as we think of the whole picture of being transformed from a caterpillar to a butterfly and to flap our wings and effect change and to be transformed, to be pollinators and all those things, is not limited to all of that, although as beautiful as that is and as impactful as it is, I believe this message has the potential to be the greatest message that we could receive, even from this natural phenomenon. From the metamorphosis all the way to the adult life of the butterfly, we see miracles and illustrations that God has for us as Christians. As I studied a little bit about butterflies, I found out a lot of things I didn't know. But one thing I discovered was that butterflies, especially monarchs and those that are very colorful, have a courtship relationship that takes place. They don't date around. And you say, Pastor, you're going to get into meddling this morning if you're not careful. Yeah, I might. You pray for me. There's nothing biblical about dating around and trying to play the field. Let me tell you, young people, if the old people are tuning me out right now, young people, tune in for just a minute. I'm not so old-fashioned that it has to be like the Duggars, because that's not real. That's reality TV that's unreal. But let me tell you something. Love blossoms from friendship. And if you're so consumed and concerned about going out on dates and trying to play the field and see if you can get a little bit of experience here, a little experience there, listen to me, young people. You're missing the whole point of God's purpose and plan for you in relationship. Courtship is God's purpose and plan for you to be in a committed relationship and pray and discern what God's will is for you. Say, Pastor, you're making it sound like we're going to get engaged on the first date. I'm not talking about something ludicrous like that. I'm not talking about the old customs where the family would commit you to be betrothed. No. But I am telling you this morning that we have it completely upside down and backwards in our culture. We somehow think that we're doing the young people a favor when we tell them, date around, play the field a little bit, and all that we're doing is teaching them that relationships are disposable and you just kind of use it for a while, and if it doesn't work out, throw it away, because they apply that later in their life and there's so much divorce that's wrapping in even a higher rate than even it is in the world today. It's higher rate in the church. That being said, I'm thankful for a God who redeems and can forgive. But I want to tell you something that's not God's purpose and plan. As Brother George Hawley pointed out, and I will remind you again, the Bible declares that God hates divorce. He doesn't hate the divorcee, but He hates divorce. That's not His purpose and plan for you. And if you want to play the field, and if you want to date around and get a little bit of, quote, experience, let me tell you something. You'll get that experience, and you'll learn some hard lessons in life. And you'll probably end up in the same situation that maybe some in your family have, going in that same pattern of divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage and heartbreak and turmoil in your life. Now listen to me, church. I'm not throwing stones at those who've been through that very difficult time, but I want to tell you something, that God's purpose and ideal for you is to be in a committed relationship for your entire life, one man, one woman for life. That's what the Bible refers to as marriage. That's the biblical definition of marriage. And anything else outside of that is not God's perfect ideal. The problem we have is that a lot of people fall in love, quote unquote, infatuation or lust, before they ever really pray, Lord, what would your will be? Or they are told and counseled that they need to go ahead and hurry up into some situation and make a commitment because they made a big mistake. Let me tell you something, two wrongs don't make a right. Courtship reminds us that love blossoms out of friendship. Years ago, I was a youth pastor back in 1989, and I was in a college class, and one of the teachers in that church at the Rosedale Church of God Holiness, her name was Donna Faye Tate, and she said something that I'll never forget, and I applied to my life because I was getting kind of eager. As a 19, 20-year-old, I was like, Lord, I want to get married here pretty soon. But the Lord said, wait. And I'm thankful that He did, because it was about 8 years later before I met Carla Kay. There was a lot of people trying to do matchmaking things, and I dated and all those things, but thankfully God kept me pure, and I didn't make any of those horrible mistakes a lot of the young people that I hung out with did. But you know what? She said this statement. Don't fall in love with someone that you don't like. That's all she said. In other words, be a friend first. Connect at the friendship level first. Understand what their interests are, what their goals are. Understand even perhaps some of their interests and hobbies and things that are just normal things. Because let me tell you something, when you get married and reality sets in after a couple months and you have bills to pay, you're not going to live on love. Love doesn't pay the bills. You're going to live on connectedness, where God has put you together with a love and a mutual connection. concern to put the other one and their needs before you. So young people, if you're tuning me out, let me say again, love blossoms from friendship. Make friends and friendships be what they ought to be. Don't warp and distort those friendships and exploit them in such a way that you have regrets when and if God does bring the spouse into your life. Courtship is a relationship that says, I'm committed to pursue God's will along with this other person in purity and holiness before them and before God, knowing that the Word of God says that whoever destroys the body, the temple of God, whoever corrupts the body, He says, I will destroy. That's the Word of God. I remember when I first met Carla about 21 years ago, and we were riding long distance. She was in Illinois, I was in Kansas City, and we were corresponding, and we finally met. And both of us had been in relationships before. She had been engaged before and different things, but the Lord knew that those were not His will. And I get teased sometimes about this, but I had a list of things that I mentioned to her in our first weekend that we ever met on a Memorial Day weekend 21 years ago. Now, it wasn't a list of expectations or but it was just a list of things that I was just going to settle. If these weren't important in her life, I wasn't going to waste my time. It kind of scared her half to death. She's not here to defend herself, but I think she was terrified when she went home, she told me. I'll share a couple of those. One was being completely sold out to a life of holiness before God. There were some things I was concerned about in ministry that would not be a hindrance to be on the same page ministry-wise and philosophy and even standards and things of that nature. But the most important thing that I saw in Carla that attracted me was her love and her compassion for children. In the first weekend I met her, she didn't know any of the kids from the school where I was principal. But when they would come up to her and I'd introduce them, it's like instantly there was a switch that went on and she loved them and knew them by name. I was principal of the middle school and high school, and there were two particular young ladies that would like to tease me a little bit, my secretary's daughter and her best friend. And as we were dating and we would kind of go back and forth, I'd go to Illinois one weekend and she'd come to Kansas City the other most weekend unless we had other ministry commitments. But I saw even the little orneriness side of Carla Kay in the way she'd kind of tweak Ashley and Karen, these little seventh grade girls that were trying to give us a run for our money and teasing us, asking us when the wedding date was coming and all. And they even put something, they were responsible in the summertime to put the letters up on the school sign. And they put something up about a wedding day that was coming for Tim and Carla Kay. And so they were giving us a hard time and everything, because it was kind of big news on campus that Mr. Linick, is what I was referred to back then, was dating someone. Maybe he had found the one, you know. But you know what? I saw her love for them and for others. And God had blessed that in such a way. And then when I got to visit her church the first time and saw her teaching the young people and the children, and I saw the way she connected in the classroom, I saw there was something there so much deeper than just a surface of beauty. Yes, she's beautiful, but she was beautiful within. And she had within her heart a love for children and for ministry and for the kingdom work. And that, young people, is much more attractive than external beauty. Because as you age in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, one man said, I've got furniture disease. And the other fellow said, what's that? He said, well, it kind of happens with midlife. He said, that's when your chest sinks into your drawers, okay? But that's what happens sometimes. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Run the tape back. But you're going to change. And if you're in love with the person and not the body, it makes all the difference in the world to keep you true, keep you connected, even when the going gets tough. And trials come, and there's a perseverance, there's a commitment that holds you through, because love blossoms from friendship that's connected, that knows the Creator God. I must hurry. In butterflies, we also see a life of fruitfulness. Remember at our wedding, Pastor Mullins, who's now getting ready to retire as the assistant district superintendent of the North Carolina East District. Back then he was pastor of Gregory Hills Church of God Holiness. He prayed over us at our wedding day. And one phrase that I've watched on the video many, many times, he said, "Lord, would you take these two individuals that are completely dedicated and committed to you and make of them a greater influence together than they ever could have been on their own?" And that's what God has done. And I thank Him for that. And God, when He says, be fruitful and multiply, it's not just about procreation. It's about being fruitful in your life. Because God wants for you, in your life and ministry, there's a minister for all of us, but God wants for you to have a fruitful life of blessing in His kingdom. Fruitfulness means that you have a greater influence together. Not just in a marriage relationship, but a greater influence together in the family of God. We touched on that enough last week that I'm not going to re-preach that. But we do need each other, and we need to work together. And when we find that we disagree sometimes, we need to be big enough and bold enough to humble ourselves and say, you know what? We agree on far more than we disagree. So let's agree to disagree agreeably and go on. Amen? Because these things that threaten the fellowship and threaten to divide us are not significant enough to divide us and let the enemy conquer us, but realize there's a greater influence together in fruitfulness. But then last, when we think of the butterfly and they working together, there's something that comes out of that. I read somewhere that there's about 100 eggs that are laid by the female after they've become one. As she's carried usually to a milkweed leaf or some plant, and then later she flies from leaf to leaf, she spreads them all over. And did you know that only 2% of those ever survive? I thought, wow, that's kind of discouraging. Then I realized, wait a minute. For those that do survive, they impact so many lives. And we're not called to try to get into the heart and mind of God and try to question the sovereignty of God about these things. Because He is sovereign and He will save whom He will. But it's up to us to follow and obey Him and leave the results with God. Amen? I shared last week that one of my regrets in the ministry is that God has not really blessed my ministry with a lot of people at the altar. But I don't know why that is. But I leave the results with Him. I don't know what all God has done in hearts and lives back in a pew, other than those that have expressed that God dealt with them or that God has helped them meet a need. But you know what? I know that God wants to make us new every day. There's a difference between a heritage and a legacy. Years ago, when I was a senior in high school, I ran track for Overland Christian High. That's a school where I later became principal. And that particular year was one of the last years that they did their track meet, what they called field day, on the English system. That particular year, I don't say this to boast, but I just like to share it kind of as window dressing of the story. That particular year, I ran the 220-yard dash in 22 seconds and 22.3 seconds and set a new record that had just been broken the last 2 years. I set it again. Well, later I was principal and I had the authority to change from the English system to the metric system in that track meet, because that's what the other schools want to do. But I had a vested interest in too, because what I did was I kept my record safe from anyone ever breaking it again, because it's in a footnote still to this day. I asked my sister, it's still there for the 220-yard dash, Tim Linick, 22.3 seconds. But now it's the 200 meters, see, so they'll never break that record. But that particular year, we had a team doing the 4x100, or we called it the 440 relay is what they called it back then. It's about the same as the 400 meter, but the 440 relay has four parts, four equal parts. You have one that takes off, the second leg, the third leg, and then they have what's called the anchor. And I got the privilege of being appointed as the anchor leg on that, the one that brings it home. Well, that's kind of a nervous thing because you don't know what situation you're going to be in when you receive the baton. Well, thankfully, the first three runners were very good, and they did very well with their handoffs. And by the time it came to me, I already had a significant lead of about 5 yards. And all I could think of was, run like there's no tomorrow. You're not going to lose it. They've given it to you. Don't let them down. You're the anchor. Don't let them down. They had given me all of that, and I didn't want to be the one who spoiled it. They had given me a lead. They'd given me a head start. And if we lost, I would have felt so terrible. You want to know what happened, don't you? Well, thankfully, I didn't just take the lead and hold even, but I added to it. We won that race by about 15 yards. We didn't set a record, but we were very, very close. There was another team in previous years that was a little bit faster than we were. But I've thought of that picture of that relay race, and that's biblical in the Word of God about passing the baton. And it's really a picture of the heritage and the legacy that we experience in the Word of God. We've been given a heritage of holiness. It's so amazing to me to think of people that have gone on before us. We shared that last week. We're so blessed to have the heritage that we have. And I know that some things that were done wrong in the past, there were some mistakes made. Let me tell you something, the Spirit of God was real. And so I don't disparage those that maybe made some mistakes. I just want to tell you something that God anointed and helped so many times in years past, or else we wouldn't be here today. And we are the recipients that we can see a great harvest today. And that's the heritage that we celebrate. But God hasn't called us to just have parties and celebration about the heritage. He's called us and asked us, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that heritage? Are you going to spoil it? Are you going to lose it? Or are you going to carry it across the finish line and then pass on a legacy to those that follow after you? And as I begin to think about the butterfly effect and how it relates to all these things and the newness of life that comes from the butterfly, I was challenged anew. Lord, I want to be faithful with the heritage of holiness that has been passed on. And I want to build a living legacy for my children and grandchildren, if Jesus carries, that they will know the truth of the holy way, that they will know the truth that God can save and redeem, that God's Spirit can cleanse the heart and give you power and calling in service. But the only way that we're going to do that, church, is if we are disciples making disciples. And then we in turn teach those young disciples to be disciples who are making disciples. The Word of God declares to us, Jesus instructs us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. But he doesn't just give the command without the power and the resource to bring it through. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yes, we've received a great heritage, and we can experience the anointing of God afresh and anew. I no longer cringe when I hear people talk about the good old days. I just thank and rejoice that we have them, but I want to see some good old days today, don't you? I want to be a part of legacy building for the future, that God would say to us on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The prayer that we must have if we're going to see that come to pass must be one that experiences afresh and anew the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. And when we know Him, we will make Him known. Did you catch that? When we really know Him, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, to know Him, then we will make Him known. Our young people that gathered on Wednesday night, 21 this past Wednesday, and there were a few that could not come this first time. We did a little icebreaker, a little bit chaotic. We were just trying to stir things up and move them around. And I shared to them with them what we did was absolutely just insignificant in light of eternity. We played a little game about cartoon characters. And I did that on purpose to let them know what we just did won't matter in eternity. It won't matter a hill of beans. And I want you to know, church, that a lot of what we do in this life will not matter. What ball games you went to, and I love sports. I get agitated and irritated at the referees because I know too much about basketball and I think I know it all. But I realize sometimes maybe they've changed the rules since I was involved. But when I've refereed and coached, I get kind of agitated when I see that they're not calling it right. I'm like, come on, make the call. I haven't gotten thrown out yet this year, but thank the Lord. But we get so wrapped up in these things, it doesn't matter. Take a deep breath and realize what really matters is eternal things. You may like to watch your Kentucky ball games, but newsflash, church, it's not going to matter in all eternity whether Kentucky wins the Final Four from year to year or the football championship or anything else. It won't matter. What matters is, have we been faithful to the heritage of holiness and leaving a legacy? And hear the words, well done. That's what matters. Well, Pastor, God wants us to enjoy life. Yes, He does. And the greatest joy you can ever experience in life is to do it God's way. The greatest joy that you can ever experience in life is to do it God's way. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean everything. Whether it's marriage that we've talked about this morning, ministry that we've talked about this morning, mentoring that we're teaching our young people to do, all of these areas of life, making disciples, is God's purpose and plan for you. You were not saved to sit the bench, church. You might feel like it's pretty soft and you enjoy coming to church. I'm glad you're here. But you are not here to sit the bench. You're here to go from this place and let your light shine for Christ. I almost forgot. Yesterday, as we were outside and the young people done a car wash, we saw a butterfly that was floating around. And I said, looky there. You know, I've seen them anywhere anyway, but look, there's a butterfly. And it kept landing right in some of the soap water. And, well, not real soapy, but just some of the runoff water. And I said, Kendall, I ought to try to get that thing. We didn't have a butterfly net, and I didn't have a safari hat, but I went and got a cake plate. I don't know whose it was. It probably needs to be washed down there. But I went there, and I was kind of working with it. It took me a few minutes, but finally it kind of settled down, and there I was, and I got it inside of that. And then Abigail and Emily helped me as Trevor brought this other container. That I hope it's alive, but I'm going to do something I've never done before. I might get fired, so you pray for me. But we're going to see what happens as we pray and dismiss this morning. It may or may not settle in here, but I'm going to open a door and see what happens. But the butterfly does not exist to be contained and captive. I don't know if it's alive anymore. Let me see. But it exists to go forward out of the church. Eventually it will get out. Would you stand with me as we pray, and we're going to see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen. Carry it out with you. Carry the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your way that is the best way. Help us to take the message that we would be faithful in all our lives, in our marriages, in our ministry, in our mentorship, and making disciples, that we would see You move in a mighty way. And we praise You for being with us, and we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's see what happens. All right. It's alive, but it's not flying. There it goes. There it goes. It's trying. Might have lost its dust in this. Might have lost its wing power. Let's see here. Can't quite make it up. Might have damaged it. Pray. All right. There it goes. There it goes. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll see what happens. You watch your butterfly. Open a door. See if it gets out.